Hello, and welcome to the Harassment-Free Workplace Podcast. I'm April Thoreau of Navigating Integrity Associates. This podcast is for CEOs and HR professionals of small and medium-sized businesses to learn practical suggestions that can be used right away to address harassment in the workplace. We are committed to creating workplaces that work for everyone. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Harassment-Free Workplace Podcast. I am so excited that we have Timothy Clark with us today, who is the author of The Four Stages of Psychological Safety. If you are in this world at all, you know he's kind of written the Bible on it. So we're so excited to have you here today, Timothy.
Thanks, April. It's a real pleasure for me to be with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm just going to read your bio so people can who don't know who you are can have a little better idea of who you are. So Timothy Clark is founder and CEO of Leader Factor, a global consulting, coaching, and training organization. Dr. Clark is an international authority in the fields of psychological safety and innovation, large-scale change and transformation, and senior leadership development. He is the author of four previous books, Epic Change, How to Lead Change in the Global Age, Leadership Bones, The Employee Engagement Mindset, Leading with Character and Competence, Moving Beyond Title, Position, and Authority. And he's also the developer of the EQ-O-meter Emotional Intelligence Assessment. Dr. Clark is highly sought after advisor, coach, and facilitator to CEOs and senior leadership teams. He has personally coached over 100 CEOs and executives and trained many senior teams around the world. Dr. Clark earned a PhD in social science from Oxford University and was both a British research scholar and a Fulbright scholar at Seoul National University in Korea. He also earned a master's degree in government and economics from the University of Utah. As an undergraduate at Brigham Young University, he was named a first team academic All-American football player where he completed a triple degree cum laude. Wow, that's a lot. You've been around the world and quite educated.
Well, I'm just getting started, April. That's really the point, right? But education is ongoing. You never permanently qualify for anything. It's ongoing.
Always.
And so one of the things, well, let me share this with you. So I had a professor at Oxford that made this statement. He said, the most important thing that you can learn in school is to learn how to learn when you get out of school.
Mm.
Right? And that makes sense. It's not any specific fact or principle or formula that will be important over time. It's will you be able to learn how to learn when you get out of school, when you get out of a structured learning environment?
Mm-hmm.
Can you become an aggressive, self-directed learner? Will you develop that kind of learning disposition in those learning habits? That's really what matters because it's ongoing.
Absolutely. Learning never stops. I always like to say the day I die is the day I stop learning, right?
That's right.
Excellent. So let's talk about psychological safety. How did you come to what is psychological safety? Why is it important? And why is this something that you have studied in lots of detail?
Sure. Well, let me go back. So when I was doing my doctorate at Oxford, I studied culture. And culture is the one topic that has captured my attention more than any other, because it is both an independent, in the language of research, it is both an independent and a dependent variable. What does that mean? That means we shape it. So think about that. We shape culture, but culture also shapes us.
Mm.
And so it has this reciprocal influence. And I find that so very fascinating. And it has a profound effect and impact on our performance and how we're doing in any organization. And so that's how it got started is way back in graduate school. And then I did an exhaustive literature review in psychological safety. And I've come to the conclusion that psychological safety is really the core of culture. It's in the middle. It's the centerpiece of culture. And you can get everything else right, but if you don't get psychological safety right, it doesn't matter. Because psychological safety is really concerned with fundamentally the way that we interact and the way we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the epicenter of culture. And I have yet to see a healthy, robust culture that does not have a high level of psychological safety. It's crucial. So that's how I got here. Okay. That's a long story short, but there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
But that's just a thumbnail sketch of how I got to psychological safety. And I think we've entered the decade of culture. Mm. As far as I can tell, we're paying more attention to culture, and this began, and the pandemic was only an accelerator in this dynamic. And it also offers an opportunity, because what a crisis does is that it liquefies the status quo. It puts us into a fluid state. And so the pandemic offers us an opportunity that may be once in a lifetime, where we can accelerate the pace of cultural transformation more than we've ever done before. Because typically, what are you up against? You're up against a calcified, fossilized status quo. How are you going to change that? That's tough.
It's so tough. And it's such a great way to look at the pandemic. Like, you've really just taken the status quo and shaken it to its core. So let's rebuild now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the choice that we all have is in the context of this pandemic, are you going to accelerate or hibernate? Mm. And do you recognize the opportunity that you have in your hands to accelerate cultural transformation? You may never have an opportunity quite like this.
Oh, it's so good to see. So this is the time. So the listeners listening, they're usually employers, HR people. This is the time to really look at your culture. Where was it? Where is it now? And where do you need it to be successful?
Yeah, this is the time.
Yeah, that's so great. So back to psychological safety. You talk about having four stages of psychological safety.
Right.
So why don't we talk about do you have like just a definition of what psychological safety is?
Yeah, let me give it to you in five words.
Okay.
Psychological safety is an environment of rewarded vulnerability. Mm. Now you got to think about that for a minute. An environment of rewarded vulnerability. That means that you can engage in the everyday acts of vulnerability that we do as we interact and as we work together, and you will be rewarded rather than punished when you engage in those acts of vulnerability. That's what psychological safety is all about.
Wow. Okay.
Being rewarded for acts of vulnerability, for that behavior. Now, you may ask the question, well, why is that important? Mm-hmm. And that deserves some thought. That deserves some reflection. Why is vulnerability important? Well, I could give you many, many reasons, but let me just focus on two. Mm-hmm. Number one, you cannot be yourself without being vulnerable. And so therefore, it will be expensive to be yourself. So you need psychological safety so that you can be yourself. And then I'm going to fast forward to another critical reason, and that is you cannot innovate unless your vulnerability is rewarded. Because innovation, by its very definition and by its very nature, it requires that we disrupt the status quo. It requires that we undermine the status quo. It requires vulnerability. So how about those two? So hopefully that makes a compelling case that we need vulnerability in our interactions and in our teams and in our organization. So let me come back to the definition. And hopefully this is the definition that your listeners, April, can remember, maybe even commit to memory: an environment of rewarded vulnerability.
Wow. Yes, 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 and yes. So much to agree with in there. It's if you think back to the way business used to be, if there's a used to be, it was not that.
Yeah. So
you've got to be tough. You got to be competitive. You've got to make it to the top. You've got to, you know, follow the status quo, follow the rules. And now we're saying, no. Let's turn all of that on its head.
Now, that doesn't mean, though, that we don't need courage, mm-hmm. and that we don't, because we absolutely do. But where we got it wrong in the past, ever since the Industrial Revolution, is that we often normalized fear as a management tool. Mm-hmm. We legitimized fear as a management tool. And the truth about that is that if you use fear as a management or as a leadership tool, you're trying to use it as proxy for good management and good leadership. It's actually a cop-out. You're not leading. Mm-mm. What you've gone to is either coercion or manipulation or some combination of the two. And you're using that as a proxy for leadership. So you've actually abdicated your leadership. You're not leading. Mm-mm. You're not leading. So using fear as a substitute means that you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, right?
No.
It's a poor substitute.
Yes. You want to encourage courage.
Yeah.
Not encourage fear. And
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so great. Okay. So let's go to the four stages of psychological safety. What are they, and what can our listeners do to help increase them in the workplace?
Sure. So the four stages represent a natural progression. And how do we know this? So we know this based on global survey research that there's this natural progression through four stages. So let me briefly walk through the stages. Stage one is inclusion safety. Inclusion safety means that you feel included, accepted, and you have a sense of belonging. Now that's stage one because 92% of all of the employees that we've surveyed worldwide, they say they want to be included first, that is number one in the sequence. Mm-hmm. It's number one based on the pattern of natural human needs. So they want to be included first. Mm-hmm. So then we go to stage two. Stage two is learner safety. Learner safety means that you can engage in the learning process. Ask questions, give and receive feedback, experiment, even make mistakes. And you're not going to get clobbered. You're not going to be harshly criticized, marginalized, embarrassed, demeaned, or ridiculed for engaging in the learning process. Mm. That's stage two. Mm-hmm. Stage three is contributor safety. Now, again, notice the sequence. First, we learn. Then we use what we learn. That's what contributor safety is. It means that I can make a difference. I can use what I've learned and I can participate in the value creation process. I want to, and so now I can be a full-fledged member of the team. And again, I can do it without fear that I'm going to be punished for that, that there will be negative consequences for that. That's stage three. Mm-hmm. Then we finally go to stage four, the culminating stage, which is challenger safety. Challenger safety means that you can challenge the status quo without fear of retribution or retaliation, without fear that you will jeopardize your personal standing or reputation. Now, you'll notice two things about the four stages. Mm-hmm. One I already pointed out, and that is, it follows the pattern of natural human needs. Mm-hmm. But number two, as you're progressing through the four stages, you are also climbing a ladder of vulnerability. Mm. So your vulnerability goes up with each stage. So by the time you reach stage four, challenger safety, and we're talking about challenging the status quo, you have climbed to the highest rung on that ladder of vulnerability. Your personal level of risk and exposure is at the highest level, right? It's not the same. So let's go back to stage one. Stage mm-hmm. one, I want to be accepted and included. Well, it's one thing to be accepted and included in terms of the level of vulnerability and risk that I feel, it's quite another to challenge the status quo, to take on the status quo. That is a much higher level of personal vulnerability and risk and exposure. So you've been climbing this ladder of vulnerability. This is a universal pattern that we see across nations, demographics, or cultures. The four stages is a universal pattern.
So, and I can see within organizations, people are going to be at different levels of that as well. Like the new person is probably just trying to find inclusion safety first, right?
Yeah.
And then people who've been there forever, they're probably, they can challenge the status quo whenever they want, kind of thing.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So for somebody who's listening to the podcast and is thinking, okay, how do I increase psychological safety in my workplace? What can they do at the first level? What can they do to increase the inclusion safety in their work, in their office?
April, the first thing that I would say is that they need to jump into behaviors. It's a behavioral approach. We can sit around and talk about it forever, but that's not going to do it. And we can even spend a lot of time increasing our awareness and understanding and appreciation of how it works, but even that's not going to do it. And so we advocate a behavioral approach, which means that you jump in to concrete behaviors and you practice those behaviors. That's the only way you're going to shift the norms of a team. And that's exactly what we need in most organizations and on most teams, is that we need to shift the norms. That's how you change the culture. You got to shift those norms. And what is a norm? A norm is a shared behavior on the team. If I have a pattern of behavior and it's just mine, that's a habit. But if that pattern of behavior is shared among team members, that's what we call a norm. And we've got to shift those. And so back to your original question, what we have to do is we have to identify specific concrete behaviors that we want to implement and we want to become shared norms. And then as we practice those, as we model those, as we reinforce those, lo and behold, we start shifting the norms, which shifts the culture. So let me just give you, so we have a behavioral guide. And April, you can make this available to all of your listeners. It's a free resource. It's a companion to the book. But the behavioral guide includes 140 concrete behaviors, so 35 per stage.
Oh, wow.
Let me give you a couple of examples. Now, some of these are incredibly simple, and others are a little bit more difficult. So for inclusion safety, one of the concrete behaviors is when you're speaking to someone, whether it's virtual or face-to-face, you face them with your entire body. Now, where does that come from? That particular behavior comes to us from the MIT Human Dynamics Lab, which shows that if you face someone with your entire body, it is communicating a higher level of respect and undivided attention. And so the communication, the signal that you're sending to that person is unequivocal, that I'm tuned into you, I'm listening, I care about what you're saying. So that's one. Another one, and some of these are very simple, as I said. Another one is learn people's names, learn how to pronounce them, and use them. Now, that may sound, you know, why are you even mentioning that, Tim? That goes without saying. Actually, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so sometimes we have to be very remedial here. We need to go back to the basics, and we need to get those basics right.
Make sense? In a previous job, I used to be a midwife, and there was one hospital that had really bad relations between the doctors and the midwives, like so horrible. And it was causing problems because they weren't communicating. And literally the training they got was say hi to each other when you see each other in the hallway. It got that basic because just those basics were missing. So, I see it when I investigate, it's like, you know, I'm saying, I don't even know that who that person is. How could I have harassed them? That might be number one thing that happened.
That's right.
You don't know them. You don't know their name. How can you feel like you're including them if you don't even know their name? So, yeah.
Yeah. Let me give you another one. So here's another one for new people that come onto a team or in an organization. Those people need to be socially and culturally integrated. They need to get to know people. They need to start making, building relationships. Well, normally that process can take a long time. And usually it takes longer than it should. And so here's one. Here's a behavior that can accelerate that process. So we call it hop on, hop off interviewing. Have you ever been to a city and they have these hop on, hop off buses? And you can hop on the bus and you can go from attraction to attraction. It's the same concept. The way that it works is a new person comes into an organization, we assign him or her an escort. And that escort, that person's job is to take the new person around to the members of the team and have hop on, hop off interviews. We're talking interviews that last 5 minutes. And it's incredible what you can accomplish. Right. So I have an escort and they bring me to you, April, and we sit down or we have a virtual chat for 5 minutes and we just get to know each other a little bit. It's incredible what that can do to accelerate the normal pace of social integration. We can exponentially increase that process. Or the pace of that normal process is fairly slow. Oftentimes, we can speed that up, and that becomes a great accelerator, and it can be just enormously effective. And that's just another one. And there are a lot of others. But back to the point, you have to jump into concrete behaviors.
This is so great. So, can you tell me some of the concrete behaviors for the next level of learner safety?
Yeah. So learner safety. Now here's one for the team leader. The team leader needs to demonstrate vulnerability in his or her learning. So what that means is that in a team, in a meeting setting, in a public setting where we're together, maybe we're having a staff meeting or something, that team leader, and there are several behaviors that go with this. One is, let me give you one specific one. Ask for help from someone of lower status publicly. Wow, what does that do? It sends a pretty clear message that this team leader is okay about demonstrating vulnerability in his or her learning process.
That is so beautiful. Leading by example, right from the get-go.
Another one would be to talk about the mistakes or the learning failures that you've had, and you do this in a public setting, right? You're happy to do that in a public setting, to talk about the things that didn't go so well for you, but you can laugh about it with good humor and you can help people understand that that's part of the process. Now, why is that so powerful? Because the team leader sets the tone and creates the vibe for learner safety. And what that individual wants to do or should want to do is disconnect fear from mistakes, right? From mistakes and failure. We have to disassociate those things in the team culture. If you can disassociate fear from mistakes, and failure. Wow. You're going to transform the culture.
That's a difficult task. Most of us grew up in the Western, you know, educational system where you make a mistake, it's wrong, and you get downgraded for it, right? Like you don't get the A, you get the B or the C or whatever, right? So that's like years and years of programming that we're trying to rewire.
It's true. Well, there's so many layers of acquired socialization there.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example. So one of the case studies that I give in the book is about this high school calculus teacher. And I won't take a lot of time to go into it, but what he says to his teachers, you must understand, mistakes are not the exception. They are the expectation. It's our way forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's our way forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of unlearning that has to happen, right, April?
Yeah, absolutely. But I love it. If you're a leader, you can step in that role, you can model it, and then that's a much faster way to reprogram that of, okay, well, he did it, so I can do it too, or she did it, so I can do that too. So
that's right.
That's excellent. Absolutely. Okay, so let's go on to concrete examples for contributor safety.
So contributor safety is an area where you want to protect. Well, let me give a pattern. So one would be to give people the why, to start with that, because the why taps people's motivation and it creates meaning and purpose for the work itself. And so you want to spend quite a bit of time doing that, and that never ends. And then a second pattern would be to divide up the work, which is what we do. We divide work up into tasks. You do this, you do that, I'll do this. And then a third pattern would be to delegate as much how as you can. Now, that's not often possible. Maybe you're in a highly regulated environment, and so you can't delegate a lot of the how. But to the extent possible, we want to delegate as much how as we can. Why? Because it transfers ownership.
Mm.
When we transfer ownership, we create magic for most people. Now they're able to use their creativity. They have autonomy. They have independence. And when they have that, that really is rocket fuel for contribution. And this is where people have peak engagement experiences in their careers. And so we want to try to create that. So when I say delegate the how, this is the figure it out factor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're often constrained in what we can do, and we have to manage risk, and we understand that. But to the extent possible, we want to try to delegate as much how as we can.
I just think back to some of my experiences. It's like when I felt autonomous, when I felt like what I said made a difference, I'm so much more engaged. I'm so much more excited to be a part of that team. You're going to get way more out of me than you would if you're like not allowing me to contribute. So
exactly.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. And so now on to the last, the challenger safety. What's something concrete that people can do for challenger safety?
Let me try to summarize this one, April, in a way that your listeners might really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do in stage four challenger safety is a couple of things at the same time. You have to increase intellectual friction, mm-hmm. and at the same time, decrease social friction. Now, what am I saying? Let me explain this. Intellectual friction is your raw material to solve problems, to create solutions, to innovate. Now, let's remember, stage four, challenger safety, is the domain. It's the realm of innovation. This is where we innovate. You can't innovate unless you're challenging the status quo. You cannot challenge the status quo unless you have intellectual friction. Mm-hmm. So your intellectual friction needs to go to very high levels. At the same time, you got to keep your social friction down, because if your social friction is allowed to go up, it will stop the intellectual friction. It will shut it down.
Mm.
So the social friction has to stay down. How do you do that? You do that by demonstrating superb emotional intelligence, control of your ego, humility, and then not allowing the conversation or the discussion or the debate to go personal. So we patrol the boundaries of respect. And we don't allow the discussion to go personal. If it goes into a personal attack or even subtle demeaning or belittling behavior, we call timeout right now. Because that's going to start to shut the entire process down. Mm. So the world-class teams that we work with are able to do this. High intellectual friction, low social friction. It's not easy, but when it happens, it's incredible. And perhaps many of your listeners have experienced this at least once in their careers. And you know when that's happening, it's a very special experience. Mm-hmm. This is the goal with stage four challenges.
Mm-hmm. It feels almost like there's magic in the room. It's like, oh, something's happening, and you like, yes, that whole group mind just kind of takes off on its own.
Yeah. You look around, you smile, and you say, oh, something special is happening here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, in back to the pandemic, this is a really great time to really focus on this, because we all have to innovate right now. We're all in this crisis of change, this crisis of the new world. So it's even more important to focus on this now.
Well, it is. But think about this, April. Think about the bosses, the leaders that go to their organization, and they say, we're going to drive innovation. Excuse mm-hmm. me? You're going to drive innovation? Yes, we're going to drive innovation. We need your candid feedback and input, and we want it. And so we're ready for it. That doesn't work.
Why
does that work? Because the environment is not conducive to a high tolerance for candor.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get it? If you have not created the enabling condition of challenger safety, it's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
And if you ask for it, but have not created that condition, it's disingenuous of you to even ask. What do you, you can't be serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're asking of me is to take an intolerable personal risk.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I'm standing on the top rung of that ladder of vulnerability. You want me to challenge the status quo, but you're not going to protect me in that behavior. Not going to happen.
That is not an environment of rewarded vulnerability.
No, no.
Back to just the definition of it. So.
Right. So if you're serious as a leader about needing innovation, if innovation is the lifeblood of growth in your organization,
mm-hmm.
you better think long and hard about whether you are creating the enabling cultural conditions.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, stage four challenger safety. If you haven't done that, then you're asking people to take risks that they're not willing to take.
Mm-hmm. They're not safe to take.
No, they're not safe to take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, Tim, I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, you know, podcasts have a certain listening time. So, oh, thank you so much for being here today. You are just such a wealth of amazing information. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do in this world. Clearly, people need you. They need your expertise. Buy his book, The Four Stages of Psychological Safety. I have it. I love it. I was actually just reading about the calculus professor in there just now and loving it and thinking back to some of my teachers that I had that were really great and some teachers that I had where there was zero psychological safety and just comparing the different experiences that I had. And it's so enlightening to go, oh, that's why it was so different. So thank you for the work that you do. I will put all the links in the show notes, how to get the behavioral guide that's a companion to your book, also where to find you, the Leader Factor website, how to get in touch with you and learn more about all of the services that Leader Factor offers.
Well, April, thank you for the opportunity. It's been just delightful to be with you.
Thank you for joining us for the Harassment Free Workplace podcast. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode, and please spread the word. feel free to send us feedback, questions, and suggestions for future guests you'd like to hear from. We'd love to hear from you. For more information on workplace investigations and assessments, please visit www.harassmentfreeworkplace.com. Till next time.